I'm Chris Sims.
And I'm Franco Terrazano.
This is the Canadian Taxpayers Podcast. We're dedicated to lower taxes, less waste, and more accountable government. In this episode, we'll take a deep dive into the Harrington Lake issue. Why are taxpayers spending millions of dollars on cottage renovations for politicians? And in Waste Watch, Franco sits down with Quebec Director Renaud Brossard to tell you how the government of Quebec is blowing taxpayers' money on zeppelins. Yes, the airships.
But first, the We Group saga has taken an important turn, with Prime Minister Justin Trudeau testifying at the Finance Committee in Ottawa. And there are still a lot of questions that need to be answered, such as how is it in any way acceptable that a nearly $1 billion contract is awarded without a competitive bidding process? Or did this decision meet accountability standards given We has paid Trudeau family members hundreds of thousands of dollars? And it's really important to keep in mind here that Margaret Trudeau, the Prime Minister's mother, has been paid hundreds of thousands to participate in We events, and his brother, Sasha Trudeau, has been paid about $30,000 to participate in We events.
You know, it's pretty rare for a prime minister to testify at a committee. Hearings like these are similar to a case in court. When you appear at a committee on Parliament Hill, you are answering questions from elected lawmakers, you're recorded, and you are under oath. It's a fundamental mechanism of a representative democracy. And in normal times on Parliament Hill, committee hearings like these, it's a huge media scrum outside the door. They're a very big deal. So this current issue right now comes down to accountability.
Exactly. And there needs to be rules. And well, you know what? There are rules in Ottawa about how taxpayers' money can be spent. There are rules about where it can be spent. Then there are rules about who makes those decisions and when politicians need to recuse themselves to avoid conflicts of interest. Basically, you and your relatives cannot directly gain from the decisions you make as a member of the government. And especially people in high office, like Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, like Finance Minister Bill Morneau, well, they need to make sure that there's not even an appearance of a conflict of interest.
Exactly. And that's really the crux of it. And that is why Trudeau was summoned to this committee, because the appearance of conflict of interest itself is a problem. And that's why they were doing things like reading out the conflict of interest to the Prime Minister during this hearing. The opposition parties grilled Trudeau. Here's Conservative Member of Parliament Pierre Poilievre asking Trudeau about that issue. He's asking him how much his mother, Margaret, was paid.
How much money total have your brother, mother, and spouse received from this organization? How much?
That information has been publicly shared, but I will highlight.
Well, then tell me what
mother,
it is.
My mother.
How much?
Has
just the dollar figure.
Throughout her life.
The dollar figure,
in
Prime Minister.
Various ways, and is proud
how much?
Of the work that she's done, and I'm proud of her.
How
as
much?
Well.
I'm looking for a dollar figure.
We can get that number for you if you like. It's been out in the media.
It's been in the media, but you don't know it?
I don't have it in front of me. And quite
you don't
frankly,
know how much your family has received from this organization, which you tried to give $500 million. Really?
Can I answer, Mr. Poilievre?
I'm waiting. You haven't done an answer so far. Let's make this the first one.
My mother has worked as an advocate.
The dollar figure, Prime Minister.
Speaker for
how much?
Many good organizations across the country.
Mr.
Many,
Prime Minister, you are,
she is proud
you are being asked a direct question at a parliamentary
a
committee.
To support her because she does her own work, and I'm proud
of
the work
point
that
of,
she does.
Point of order?
But I do not. Feel that it is
answer
my
the
responsibility
question.
To peer into the work my mother is doing because I have
point of order to suspend.
She's doing.
Poilievre was really playing hardball with the Prime Minister, and he wasn't letting him get off the hook easily. And likewise, here's what the NDP's Charlie Angus had to say during that same hearing.
I guess the issue is that for Canadians, the idea that this was the only game in town, that we was the only game in town, I'm sure. Around your cabinet, it probably was. But the fact is that the Kielberger brothers carefully cultivated their relationship with you and your brand. After you became prime minister, they put you on the stadium circuit. They hired your family members to the tune of $500,000. They hired the finance minister's daughter. They flew him around the world. They even made their staff go to his parties. Do you think that that's not conflict of interest? Is that conflict of interest, yes or no?
Okay, from the very first, Mr. Angus, you were unfortunately misleading people with your proposal. This was not something that we selected. This is not something that cabinet selected. Cabinet was presented a choice by our professional public service saying, if you want to deliver this summer volunteer program, the summer grant program, it's going to have to be with this, through this third party organization.
You know, Angus is a veteran member of parliament. He can't quite seem to get his head around the fact that the prime minister did not recuse himself immediately. You know, the prime minister's chief of staff, Katie Telford, she also appeared at this committee. So a chief of staff decides who's on the team and what they're working on at all times on Parliament Hill. At this level of power, it's a very important and very high stress job. Chiefs of staff, they're often seen to be accountable for what everybody else on the team is doing, including their bosses, ministers, and prime ministers. So here's part of what Telford had to say.
We were starting to already see research and stories being told and people telling us directly about the impact. And I know I heard some members talking about this in the committee with the Prime Minister earlier as well, that you all recognize because you hear it from your constituents, I know, of, you know, the concerns around mental health for young people, the concern about wanting to make sure that we don't have a lost generation here where they have to spend years catching up from this period of time. And so we wanted to see what ways we could ensure that we were connecting young people to their communities.
Well, it sounds like Telford really wants us to think of the kids. And mm-hmm. Trudeau and his chief of staff, Telford, were busy trying to duck responsibility and stress the speed with which they're trying to get the program out the door. But the opposition wasn't buying what they're trying to sell. And the opposition politicians rightly questioned why Trudeau didn't recuse himself, given the obvious close connections between his family and the charity. The opposition MPs also questioned whether there was only one group that could administer this project and whether someone will finally be held responsible for this debacle.
You know, many charities do wonderful work for people here in Canada and around the world. That's a good thing. I don't think anybody is questioning that. But taxpayers' money is involved here, and a lot of it. So politicians spending our tax dollars must always be held to account. We need to know where our money is going and why. And that is exactly why we here at the Canadian Taxpayers Federation are calling on the Auditor General to get involved and take a close look at these books. We need to know about every money interaction between this government starting in 2015 and this WE Group. Help us push the Auditor General to step in by sending her an email. That would really help us out. We're going to include contact information for her office in the show notes. Coming up next, our Prairie Director Todd McKay and I will take a deep dive into Harrington Lake and the other multi-million dollar mansions that taxpayers are paying for. Stay with us.
It's time for Deep Dive. This is the part of the podcast where we get into important issues, and we've got an exclusive news story for you today. And it's about the multi-million dollar renovations on the Prime Minister's cottage at Harrington Lake. Chris, tell us about this.
So Todd, federal officials told Parliament that the bills for renos at Harrington Lake total $8.6 million so far. But then there's our investigative journalist, James Wood, super curious guy. So he submitted a blizzard of access to information requests to the National Capital Commission. That's the agency responsible for the project. Now, we're still combing through the documents and pushing the NCC for clarifications, but it's obvious to us the actual total is more than $10 million.
You know, before we get any further, because there's a lot to go through here, once you see bills going from $8.6 million to $10 million, we're going to have to take a look at some of this stuff. But before we do that, maybe you better describe Harrington Lake a little bit. This isn't just some little cozy spot in the forest with a wood stove. What are we talking about here?
That sounds like heaven, forest with a wood stove, but you're right. We're calling it a cottage because that's the official name, but the word mansion is much, much more accurate here. So it's a 13-acre property in Gatineau Park, and that's less than half an hour's drive away from the Prime Minister's official residence at 24 Sussex Drive in Ottawa. The main house alone has 16 rooms. Now, the NCC recently moved a building that it had called the Caretaker's Cottage closer up to the main house. They expanded it and they renamed it the farmhouse.
You know, I've spent a lot of time in farmhouses. I don't think this qualifies as a farmhouse, not in my experience of that particular term. This isn't a cottage. It's not a farmhouse. This is a great, big, expensive luxury estate. That's what this is. And the NCC is spending a truckload of taxpayers' money to make it even more luxurious. The NCC's initial admission that it had spent $8.6 million is already outrageous. In fact, Chris, you did a good job. You wrote an op-ed about this, talking about cottages and homes owned by Academy Award-winning actors and Stanley Cup champions. Those swanky spots cost an awful lot less than just the renos. But now we're finding out those renos, they're already going north of $10 million instead of $8.6, which is what the NCC told Parliament. Give us some examples that the NCC seems to have left off the report when it was telling Parliament about these expenses.
Yeah, these are not small items. It's not like they forgot a can of paint here and there. Taxpayers paid $280,000 for security infrastructure, for example. We also paid more than $186,000 to remove the foundation for the caretaker's house after it was dismantled.
So on the security side, that's always a tricky one. I don't think there's any excuse for leaving it off the list. You got to show your bills, and you got to show if you spent $280,000 on security, you got to show that. But let's leave that to the side for a moment. To knock out a foundation, I know some people who spent a lifetime in construction. I was going back and forth with them. How much ballpark do you think this would cost? $180,000? None of them could figure out why it would cost nearly that much, anywhere close to that much. So yeah, we're going to keep digging on this one, but we've got a discrepancy here. The report to Parliament was $8.6 million. We're looking at the bills. It's north of $10 million for sure. We're still figuring it all out. What does the NCC say about this?
So here's what the NCC's official spokesperson sent back to us. Quote, "The estimated costs provided to Parliament on July 20th, 2020 are different as they reflect the capital investment amounts budgeted, not the operational or maintenance budgets. In turn, ATIP 2020-00025, that's our access to information request, requested the generic actuals report as the cost of renovations, improvements, construction, and maintenance," end quote. So basically in English, the NCC said Parliament asked a narrow question, so it got a narrow answer. We asked a broader question, so we got a broader answer.
That is a kind of nitpicky nonsense that just drives you crazy. Mm-hmm. Like if a contractor came in and did a kitchen reno for you and played that kind of game, it might get a little heated. It's really, really frustrating to see that. If you're renoing a property and then you have to spend $180,000 to knock out the foundation after you move a building, that's not maintenance. That's not just taking care of the property. That's part of the reno. I don't even know how you could argue that goes on a different line on the old spreadsheet there. But listen, what else is happening here? Who else are we hearing from?
It is a super frustrating question. You know, you could maybe forgive some hedge trimming costs, maybe a bit of gravel for the potholes in the driveway. This wasn't it. $186,000 is a huge chunk of change. And it's frustrating to a lot of people. So we actually went back to Michael Barrett. He's the member of Parliament who asked the original question. Here's what he said.
I think that this is a government that is not transparent with Canadians, and the fact that they would only provide the minimum amount of information in hopes of clearing the lowest bar possible, it's not respectful. It demonstrates that they're not respectful of the public purse. They shy away from this transparency. Well, this is essentially a fourth mansion for the Prime Minister, and this one built in secret. And this is only coming about not because the government proactively disclosed this, but because the opposition and then the media and now your organization are asking them tough questions about it.
You know, Mr. Barrett isn't the only one questioning the NCC's handling of Harrington Lake. I asked conservative leadership candidates whether it's time to sell the cottage. You know, I think if most of us, if we had a property and it was costing us more just to rent it than Stanley Cup champions are paying for their whole house, I think we'd probably let that place go. They all said, all of these leadership candidates said, the renovation costs are unacceptable. You can check out their answers on our podcast. We interviewed all of them. Peter McKay, though, he took it a step further. Here's what McKay said when I asked him whether it's time to sell Harrington Lake.
What does a prime minister need a cottage, you know, 20 minutes from his home for anyway? I see no hesitation in, you know, selling that property. I think there's a lot of government properties, quite frankly, Todd, that we could sell.
You know, it's one thing for the prime minister to have an official residence. He's got a spot, 24 Sussex, in Ottawa. It's a nice spot, close to Parliament Hill. Makes sense. It's a whole other thing for taxpayers to pay for rentals that cost more than the luxury homes of some of the most rich and famous people in Canada. Selling Harrington Lake, it's an obvious move. Now, some people, though, they look beyond that obvious. They say, listen, the deficit's hundreds of billions now. This is just millions of dollars. This is spare change. Why are you guys making such a big deal out of it? Chris Sims, you personally are making a huge, hairy deal out of this. Why are you doing that?
So off the top, that line of reasoning goes like this. If you don't take care of the small stuff, the big stuff will steamroll you. And this is how this works. The average home price for average Canadians in Canada is just over $500,000. That means that just the amount that the NCC forgot to mention to Parliament could actually pay for three or four homes for average Canadians. It's wrong to waste this money on an unnecessary luxury estate for the Prime Minister. So we're going to keep holding the government accountable for every nickel of taxpayers' money that's going into this.
Yeah, and we're going to have more on this in the coming weeks. We're still pushing the NCC for more answers, more clarifications on some of this. We've got more expenses in here that honestly are even more baffling than the ones we've mentioned today. So stay tuned. James Wood, our investigative reporter, he's digging into more of this. He's got some more access to information requests coming. We're going to have a lot more on this.
Hi, I'm Scott Hennig, president of the Canadian Taxpayers Federation. Sorry for interrupting the podcast, but I wanted to take a few seconds of your time to tell you more about the Canadian Taxpayers Federation. We are 235,000 Canadians from coast to coast that are fed up. We are fed up with politicians taking too much out of our paychecks, often to waste it on a bunch of pet projects, corporate welfare, and pork barreling to buy votes. We organize campaigns to push back on these politicians. These campaigns often include petition drives, billboards, media stunts, and more. But most importantly, they ask our supporters to pitch in and take action. Alone, we're a voice in the wilderness. Together, we're an army to be reckoned with. You can join the fight and sign up at no cost at taxpayer.com. That website again is taxpayer.com. Okay, now back to the podcast.
It's time for Waste Watch, and that's when we make fun of dumb things that governments are spending our money on. Renaud, I hear as a Quebec taxpayer, you're now a new business owner.
Well, believe it or not, Franco, it's not a business I want to be in. In a weird twist of events, the government of Quebec forked over $30 million to be a part owner of a French Zeppelin manufacturer last year. The government even called it a technology of the future.
Did you just say Zeppelins? Those huge flying balloons?
Yep.
And the Quebec government called this a technology of the future? I'm pretty sure the last time Zeppelins were a technology of the future was when Charlie Chaplin was still considered an up-and-coming filmmaker. And next, Renaud, you're going to be telling us that the provincial government is thinking about investing in Blockbuster. Well, Renaud, do your taxpayers a favor in Quebec and make sure that the provincial government doesn't see a photo of a horse and buggy.
Yeah, it's those same Zeppelins. About a year ago, Quebec's newly minted Minister of the Economy, a guy named Pierre Fitzgibbon, met with a CEO of a French blimp company named Flying Whales at the Bourget Air Show in Paris. And basically, the minister told the company that he'd be interested in helping them set up shop in Quebec.
Ah, you know, I think I've heard that before. Helping the company set up shop. I'm pretty sure that's political speak for using taxpayers' cash to subsidize a business. Renaud, am I reading that right?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. And a couple of months later, guess what? Quebec taxpayers have been forced to fork over $30 million to acquire some of the company in exchange for having it build its North American factory right here in Quebec.
Okay, well, let me play devil's advocate here for a second. Isn't there some type of silver lining? What about the new jobs that could be created in Quebec because of this? Won't selling a few of these high-tech 20th century style Zeppelins help bring some money into Quebec?
Well, it's funny you should mention sales because the company doesn't have a single customer to date. It hasn't sold a single Zeppelin, nor does it have any purchasing commitments from anybody.
None?
Nada, silch, and a bunch of other words to that effect. Not only does the company not have any prospective customers so far, it doesn't even have a prototype.
Wait, so no customers, no prototype. Is there anything that this company actually does have?
Well, at the moment, what they have is an idea and a bag full of Quebec taxpayers' cash. Another issue, though, is that this was not the first time Flying Whales and the government of Quebec talked about ways to spend taxpayers' cash on the project. They had approached the previous government back in 2017, but the previous Philippe Couillard government, thank God, rejected the project at the time.
So why did that previous government turn it down? Did they realize that it isn't 1920 anymore?
Well, the government assembled a panel of experts to look into the project's viability. But after listening to a long pitch from the company's CEO and its staff, they found some major flaws in the project. And when I say major flaws, there are some very basic things. Like, for instance, the blimps were intended to use in hard-to-access regions in Canada's far north. And the blimps would have needed to use water in its ballast tanks in order to avoid flying away whenever they dropped a heavy charge. But there's one crucial element that the brilliant engineers that this company hired had forgotten to take into account, and that is the fact that water freezes in the far north for about half a year.
So let me get this straight. This Zeppelin company that has no customer or prototype had asked for Quebec taxpayers' cash before, but they were rejected because of, a major flaw in its design, including pretty basic stuff like forgetting that water freezes when it gets too cold. You know, I haven't taken a chemistry class in a long time, but I've definitely watched enough Bill Nye the Science Guy episodes to make sure that I know that water freezes when it gets a little too chilly out there. And now, Renaud, you're telling me that the new government is basically champing at the bit to give this company $30 million check.
Well, it sounds absolutely crazy when you put it like that, but yeah, that's pretty much what happened. But somehow it actually gets even crazier, because despite all of that cash being spent, because yes, it's already been spent, there's still a good chance the project won't be able to go ahead in Canada.
Oh, why is that?
Well, it turns out that Quebec is not the only government to have put money into that company. There's a Chinese state-owned firm named AVIC that owns about a quarter of Flying Whale shares. And that same firm has been accused numerous times of conducting industrial espionage. So Industry Canada hasn't given the company the go-ahead to operate out of fear that any technology we develop here might fall into the hands of the Chinese government.
So Industry Canada is worried the Chinese are spying on us over Zeppelins? You know, that's the same type of aircraft that was pretty well obsolete by the 1940s. And Quebec's Minister of the Economy basically forked over $30 million in taxpayers' cash in a Zeppelin company, no less, with no customers, no prototype, and that might not even be able to operate here. I've heard a lot of dumb things that governments have spent our money on, but this one might just take the cake.
Thanks for listening to the Canadian Taxpayers Podcast, and thank you so much to James Wood for editing it.
Please subscribe, like, share, and review our show. It really helps us get the word out to more people. And most importantly, thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Scott Hennig, President of the Canadian Taxpayers Federation.
if you've got another minute, I'd like to ask you to think about the one person you know that would really enjoy listening to this podcast. Do us a favor and do them a favor and send them a quick note to let them know about it. At the Canadian Taxpayers Federation, we believe there is power in numbers. That's why we've worked so hard to build an army of taxpayers who are ready to push back. And we did it because people like you shared our work with that one person that they knew would really appreciate taking part. Thanks for listening, and thanks for doing your part to make Canada a better place.